In a world where some owlies have the fastest needles in the West, this is the News Nest.
Hey guys, this is Sparrow. You're listening to the News Nest. You remember last week when I said that sometimes in Talkland, there's so much to talk about and the community is filled with news. And then other weeks it's kind of slow and I have to really rack my brain to think of what I'm going to be talking about. Well, this week is one of those slow weeks. There's not a whole lot going on. And so before I start the regular show, I'm going to just go through a couple of little administrative type things. First off, you may have noticed that the blog has received its springtime facelift. Back when we started the blog to host the podcast, we had a little owl background that we were just going to leave up there all the time. But we found out that depending on what sort of internet Explorer or Safari or Mozilla, Firefox or whatever, depending on what kind of internet program you're using, certain people weren't able to load the blog because of the background. So we had to switch to just the basic template that Blogger gives you when you sign up. And so I'm just using whatever background I can find through the Blogger template, which is fine. I still think it's coming out really, really cute. But unfortunately, that does limit me to having to pick either northern or southern hemisphere as far as which season I'm going to go by. And right now, I'm doing northern hemisphere because I'm thinking, well, you know, I'll just go with wherever Stephanie is. Since she's the mama owl, I'll just do whatever season it is where she is. And I don't know, maybe next year we'll flip and do the seasons in the order of our friends down in Australia and New Zealand. But for now, it's springtime on the blog, and just wanted to let you know, you're not confused, you're still on the right page, it's okay. And then the other thing that I wanted to say was that I'm finding with this podcast, I love doing it, and you know, I always pretty much, I've been in Talkland for about 6 months now. It seems like a lot longer. It seems like I've been there forever, but it's only been about 6 months since I joined. And I've always kind of been up on what's happening with every single thread, but I'm finding that with some of these newer threads and keeping up with things in all of them, I'm falling behind on certain ones. In particular, I'm falling behind on the ones that are just more chatty, like the I Can Have Love thread where people go when they are having a bad day or whatever, and the Beekeeper's Quilt Knit Along. I'm so behind. Right now I'm like 800 posts behind in that thread. It's terrible. So I just wanted to say if there's something that's happened in a thread and you haven't heard me say anything about it, and you think it should have been said, and that's perfectly fine. I've said it before and I'll say it again. This is not my podcast. This is our podcast. I just happen to be the one hosting it. But if you didn't hear me talk about something and you think it needs to be said, please drop me a PM or post in the thread there for the News Nest on the Tiny Owl Knits board, and let me know what I missed, because I know I'm missing things. It's hard to keep up. The quest and Free Pattern Friday and all the different knit-alongs are definitely taking up all my attention. So just if you guys wouldn't mind helping me out, if you see something, that would be awesome of you. And now, without further, I'm going to go ahead and congratulate all the winners of everything this week. There were winners in a couple of different places this week. Free Pattern Friday, I do want to mention that the quest to get to 100,000 posts is still going on. So if you have a time when you're wanting to get on and chat with somebody, please log on to the FPF thread and help us get to 100,000 posts. The winners of FPF this past week were the sandwich winners were Lewinwin and Meadow Bunny, and the winning me went to LD Paulson. Congratulations to the three of you guys. And I'm making a vow right now. I'm going to be in the FPF thread this week talking. I totally didn't even pop in there but once or twice this week. So I will be in there helping get to the 100,000, I promise. And then also for this week, we had some winners with the quest. Last week, we had a little extra challenge on the side to post pictures of what springtime is looking like in our area. And there were some beautiful pictures posted. Oh my goodness, especially Minya. Oh my gosh, Minya, you posted some beautiful pictures. I need to move to Germany because it's just gorgeous there, guys. So there were winners for posting of the pictures, and then there were also winners just for overall guessing the final quest clue for February. And I believe it was all just random draw, but I'm not for sure. But anyway, the winners were Nerdy Knitter 00, Rhubarb Muncher, Sanchi or Sanchi, Dissolved Girl, and Thumbelina 139, which that's me. So congratulations to everyone who won, and thank you very much, Lily Lalu, for putting it on and giving out prizes. That's always fun. I have one other quick thing I want to tack on to the end here. This week's introduction about the super fast needles. I just wanted to say congratulations to Robobin for being the very first owlie to finish the TinyLknits 12 in 12 knit along. She has completed 13 TinyLknits projects in the first 3 months of the year, which I think is ridiculously awesome. So, congratulations, Robobin, and keep up the hard work, everybody else. And now we have this week's quest clue. Bluebell, Prophecy Creek Park, Manor House, Secret Chamber. Esmeralda flattened her feathers nervously when the elf turned the key to the chamber. The door jumped open to reveal a big circular room. On the opposite side was another door, and in front of the door sat a sphinx, slowly opening her eyes. Carefully, the group approached. When they reached the sphinx, they heard a low growl coming from her, and everyone took a step back. Gently, the elf started talking. "We are sent by the kings and queens to find the prophecy that is supposed to be hidden in this chamber." The sphinx looked at him but remained silent. "May I ask if the prophecy is hidden behind the door you are guarding?" he continued, his voice trembling. The sphinx kept staring at him, but then started talking. "Behind this door lies another chamber, and behind that chamber lies another chamber. And behind that chamber lies another chamber, and another chamber, and another chamber. Four chambers will hold nothing but danger for you, and the fifth will not hold what you are looking for." "What kind of dangers will we find?" the feathered lady asked. The sphinx turned her head slowly to Esmeralda. "I cannot tell, but for one, and I will first have to explain the rules. Now you are free to leave, but once you have decided to go on, the door you came through will be locked. I will give you a riddle. To solve the riddle, we'll both open the door I am guarding and let you know the danger that awaits you behind that door. If you cannot solve the riddle within a week, I will have everybody in this room for next Monday's dinner. Are you sure you want to proceed?" "May we go out to discuss this with everybody?" the elf asked, his voice trembling. The sphinx nodded slowly. "You have until dusk to make your decision." With these words, her head sank back onto her paws, and her eyes closed. It took the group a while to decide how to proceed. Part of the group would enter the chamber, leaving the others to come and rescue them, or to continue the quest without them if the worst happened. The elf, the feathered lady, the dwarf, a handful of owls and other small animals, among them the hare, had packed their bags with magical herbs, weapons, books, and other things they might prove useful on their way to the prophecy. They also packed bread and cheese and other provisions for a couple of days, just in case. When they reached the Sphinx's chamber, everybody took a deep breath before entering. The Sphinx slowly opened her eyes. "So," she growled, "you have made your decision." Everybody nodded, and the hare timidly said, "Yes, ma'am. We would like to proceed. If you could please be so friendly as to—" His voice faded away when the door they entered the chamber through closed with a bang, and the Sphinx got up to her feet. Standing, she was far bigger than one would have expected her to be after seeing her lying down before. "Be silent, Listen to what I have to tell you. His mother, a bird that seldom flies. His father, a dragon with no wings. His kisses are death, and so is his gaze. His skin burns the grass, and his heat breaks stone. Two things only does he fear. Only one you can take with you through this door. Choose wisely. The Sphinx fell silent again. Then she concluded, Name the beast that awaits you behind this door, and choose the weapon you want to take to conquer the beast. With the last words, she lay down her head again and closed her eyes. So, we have until next Monday to decide what beast the Sphinx was speaking of and what weapon we should take to defeat the beast. If you think you know the answer, PM Lily Lalu and she will verify your solution. And also, don't worry if you don't hear from her for a little while. She said in the thread that she is very busy this week, so it's fine. Just give her some time and she will get back with you. And that's what's going on with the quest. That's the beginning of March, and looks like it's going to be a very fun month. So now I'm going to get into what is going on in news. There's not a lot, like I said before. I've already said in the Free Pattern Friday thread, we're still trying to get to 100,000 posts. We are currently, at the time of this reading, at 82,203. So we've still got quite a ways to go, but it's only the beginning of March, so I still think we can do it. As far as everything else, it's pretty much the same as what I spoke of last week. March Card Pals are underway. We've all gotten our PMs about our March Card Pals. The Heartfelt Ring Swap should be... It's over. I think there's still a few people waiting, but that's okay. Just watch your mailboxes, guys. And thank you very much again to Sanguine, not Sanguine, to Sanguine for putting on the Heartfelt Ring Swap for us. The February-March Some Cloudy Day Knit Along still going on. You still have plenty of time if you want to join in, and there's lots of prizes that people are going to be offering up at the end of the month, so keep your eye on that thread. As the month progresses, we'll start handing out prizes. And that's pretty much it, guys. There's not anything new. Oh, I did want to say, for any owlies who are interested in doing NaNoWriMo, it's a yearly writing, not really competition, but anybody who likes to write, particularly fiction, but it doesn't really matter if you write, you know, poetry or nonfiction or whatever, we're going to be doing an owly version in a thread. It's called Any Owly Rhymos Out There, and I think we're actually going to be starting a new thread, but in April it's going to be starting, so next month be watching if you like to write and you want to join us for a month of cheering each other on as we get to our personal writing goals. That'll be happening, and I'm sure I'll talk about it when it does happen. And the Bookish Owls, I didn't get to mention it last week, but I had typed it on the blog. The Owly Book Club that got started a while back, we kind of got quiet, but we just decided to discuss I Capture the Castle in the thread. And so if you read it and you have an opinion, you want to come talk about it, just go to the thread, the Bookish Owls. And we're just talking about it over there. And then I'm sure in the next couple of weeks, we'll probably be deciding on a new book to start. So if you have any suggestions for a new book, I think right now we're talking about, I think it's called The Dark Circus. But if you have a book that you think we need to read, by all means, go and post it there so we can hear all about it. And I do believe... that is everything for this week. So that's it. Like I said, not very much news. There was one other thing that I wanted to mention about the blog that I forgot to mention it earlier when I was talking about the blog. I've been really, really bad, and I just realized it this week that I haven't given credit to the music that I have on the blog. I'm going to be going back to edit all of the previous posts on the blog to include a little blurb giving credit. But I want to mention that all of the music that's on the blog comes from a website called danosongs.com. That's DanoSongs.com. Danosongs.com. It's a gentleman who calls himself Dano, and he creates royalty-free music blurbs that are podcast safe that you can download for free. And I appreciate all the hard work that he does, and he gives us lovely, awesome music. So thank you very much, Mr. Dano. The music that you hear for the quest, I was really excited about it because it's called An Owl Named Orion, and I was just excited that it had the word owl in it. So that's the quest music that you hear when I'm reading the quest. And the rest of it that's on here, the little cartoon sounding blurbs in between each thing and the introduction music also comes from his website. And now I'm going to move on to the interview. This week's interviewee is AJ's grandma, otherwise known as Verna. And I want to mention before I start that I know when I have people who record their own interviews, I get really excited and my high-pitched squealy voice comes out. But I do want to mention that it's okay if you can't record. It's just as exciting to hear from people who can't record. I've said from the very beginning that I want the interviews to be everyone, not just people who have the access to recording equipment, but I want everyone to be able to be involved. So I'm happy to read your answers. It doesn't disappoint me or anyone else. We love hearing from you no matter what medium it comes to us in. So I'm going to be reading AJ's grandma's answers this week, and here we go. Okay, so this is the interview with AJ's grandma. The first question, what brought you to Talkland? When I decided to start knitting again, I needed to learn how to do many of the stitches. I went on the internet and found Knitting Help. I believe she probably is referring to knittinghelp.com. From there, I eventually found Ravelry. I found lots of groups that caught my attention, and through one of them, I saw the beekeeper's quilt pattern. That's how I found Talkland, and I'm so happy that I did. It has become an important part of my everyday. Aside from crafting, what's your favorite thing to do? I love to spend time on Ravelry getting to know so many people better. It's been so much fun learning about other countries and how alike we all are. I love to read, and now that summer's coming, I love to watch AJ play baseball, and I never miss a game. I think AJ is extremely lucky to have Verna as a grandma. Seriously, guys. The next question, what kinds of yarns or fibers do you like? I haven't had the opportunity to try a lot of different yarns. I usually stay with acrylics or cottons because that's what is on sale near me. I'm starting to expand my experiences with yarn because it's easy to order things over the internet. I love bright, colorful yarns. What sort of projects or techniques do you like best? I don't really have a favorite project or technique. I jump from project to project and enjoy trying new things. When I get frustrated, I fall back on crocheting because it's always seemed easier for me to do. I really like a project that ends up making someone else happy. Last week, I made AJ a Pokemon ball, and he loved it. It was a quick, easy project, and I derived a lot of pleasure from his happiness. What project of projects have you made so far that you remember the best? My most favorite project ever was the box of toys to go along with the book I gave to Fee's boys for Valentine's Day. I think it was the most fun I've ever had knitting and crocheting. Finding the pattern for each part of the story, finding a box to hold it all, and then seeing the expression on her son's face looking it over. My husband wants me to make another one to put away for AJ's children someday. I knitted a christening gown when my daughter was a baby. She'll be 40 in April. It was the hardest thing I've ever made, and I don't even have it or a picture. Is there familial importance or significance in knitting, crocheting, or crafting? My earliest memories were of my great-grandmother crocheting a tiny hook and thread. She wasn't a knitter, but she braided rugs and she quilted. Being the mother of five daughters, she made a quilt for one, for each one, as well as crocheted tablecloth or bedspread. Her reason for always being busy, idle hands are the devil's workshop, and I don't remember her sitting with her hands still in her lap. My grandmother crocheted and sewed all the time, and my mom was a painter. Making something with your hands for people you love has always been very important to me. How did you learn to knit? I taught myself to knit in the summer between 8th and 9th grade. I took a home economics and summer extra credit project was to spend 200 hours working on something. I learned to knit and crochet from how-to books and documented the work by making samples of all the stitches I keep in a notebook, along with the number of hours I spent. My teacher kept the notebook to show to future classes. I wish I still had it. I'm going to go off on a little tangent here because this reminds me. I know how you feel, Verna, because I took a creative writing class when I was in high school, and the end of semester project was to create a journal scrapbook thing with all of your writing from the whole semester. You had to put it all in one book, and I spent hours making mine like a scrapbook with like pretty, you know, backgrounds and stuff like that, and all of my writing from an entire semester, and my teacher decided to keep it to show off to future classes, and I was so sad that I didn't get to keep it. So I wish you still had your notebook of stitches. That's sad that you don't. The next question, what was the moment or project when you realized you couldn't live without knitting? I was cleaning out some things when we were getting ready to move, and I came across a poncho I'd knitted for my daughter when she was a baby. I found the knitting needles and decided I'd see if I could remember how to make them work, and then I was hooked. It's funny, I can't remember what the first thing I made after deciding to knit again was. If you had a chance to make something for anyone in the whole of time and space, what would you make and who would you make it for? That's easy. I'd go back in time and make my dear grandmother another sweater to replace the monstrosity I made for her when I was a teenager. She wore it, the one I made, all the time just because I made it, and that makes me smile, but I cringe every time I think of how garish it looked. It was a crocheted sweater jacket made with granny squares. Three rounds of red, white, and blue, variegated, and then the last round was white. She looked like a 4th of July celebration walking down the street, and it was so stiff. I think it's still stored in her cedar chest. I'd have to go look. If you could go back in time for 24 hours, where and when would you go? Going back 24 hours, if I could, I'd go to the Midwest and warn all the people in the paths of the terrible tornadoes last Friday to get out of harm's way. That's so sweet. That's one of the reasons why we love you, Verna. You are a sweetheart. What is your favorite fairy tale and why? I'm not sure that I have a favorite, but the one that appeals to me is the tortoise and the hare's race. It helps remind me to slow down and work a little bit each day to get to the goal, instead of rushing ahead and just getting further behind. What is your quirk? I don't know if you'd call it a quirk or not, but my family laughs about something that I always seem to do. They explain it as looking at them as if I'm looking over my glasses with one eyebrow raised and a bit of a huffy sound, sort of a I-know-it-all smirk, very schoolmarmish. When you were a little kid, what did you want to be when you grew up? When I was young, all I ever wanted to be was a wife and a stay-at-home mom and then a grandmother. I've been lucky to do it all. I've always loved babies and young children and felt that the important thing in life was nurturing them. Now I'm enjoying visiting with everyone in Talkland and being a surrogate grandma for everyone that would like me to be. I'm learning so much from all the younger people I visit with every day. You all expand my life in so many wonderful ways. Thank you very much, Verna. I think, I don't really remember when it was. I think it might have been during FPF one day, but Verna just sort of became a grandma to everybody. We just started calling her Grandma Verna, and I'm so thankful that she is in the talk group because she has really offered me a lot of excellent advice, and I know she's done the same for many other people. So thank you, Verna, for being around and for giving us such a wonderful interview. And now for this week's limerick, brought to us, of course, by Badger's Mama. And this week's limerick is about springtime. For some, the first signs of spring are the mantles of trees all changing. A chocolate rabbit is my first of spring habit. I've eaten the whole bloody thing. That's one of my favorite ones, I think. I love that, especially because I got to say chocolate instead of chocolate. Thank you, Badger's Mama, and thank you for listening, everyone, and I'll be back here next week.